Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
The model prayer has this: "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, again, Jesus was talking about the sustenance of bread, meat, and food. But those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, we know there's another kind of bread, and Jesus told his disciples he had bread to nourish on that they did not know. And it has to do with the Word of God and our relationship with the Lord. So on Exploring Missions today, we want to take a journey with a ministry that has that name, Our Daily Bread. Our co-host, Nathan Harper, do you remember a little devotional booklet we would have in our home when you were growing up with us called Our Daily Bread?
I do remember. I remember also seeing it around the church building in a lot of hands of, at the time when I was younger, everybody I saw I considered older. So a lot of older saints.
All those 20-year-old folks.
And so I thought I was too cool to read it, but one day I kind of snuck a read from Our Daily Bread devotion, and even as a teenager, and it was pretty powerful. It was very impactful. And so I've often read from Our Daily Bread devotion since that time.
And it continues to be a great resource. We're going to talk to someone today that works with Our Daily Bread Ministries, and he's a friend, a family friend. Let me just tell you, Nathan, we've got some pretty good connections. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, it's even from right here in the middle of the Bible Belt, Tupelo, Mississippi, kind of a rural area, generally speaking, but there's still global connections. And I think if we can make connections globally, locally, in God's kingdom, everybody can. It's God's working all around us. And part of what he does is bring people into our lives that he's using, working through to encourage us, to help shape us. And so hopefully we'll be encouraged today as we share with our guest.
Okay, well, let's introduce our guest. Again, it's Mike Hetfield. Mike, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And he's with Our Daily Bread Ministries. I did not know that until just 2 weeks ago. And we were coming out of the same store, and we met one another, and I asked him, "What are you doing now?" And he told me this, and I said, "You're on Exploring Missions." So, Mike, thank you for taking up in the invitation and being here today.
Yeah, I'm so glad to be here. Glad to share.
We want to start this journey for those that might not know about Our Daily Bread Ministries and some that only know it through the booklet, the devotional. Would you give us an overview of Our Daily Bread Ministries?
Well, like you said, they are most well known for the devotional they've been doing for, well, Our Daily Bread has been around for 80 years. And probably all over the world, people have heard of Our Daily Bread devotionals. When I went there to tour this facility, they had so many incredible things around that would encourage and share and talk about their vision. And their vision is to bring the life-changing wisdom of all the Bible to make it accessible and understandable to all. So in their goal, they do so many things now, but it's still everything points to the devotional side of helping people understand and apply the Bible in their lives.
You know, Nathan, when I hear that, I just loved Our Daily Bread. How many illustrations are there that I have no idea why, you know, I would say, I would love to use it, but everybody in our church has read this same devotional. So when I did, I said, did you guys see that?
Yeah.
But even in the devotional, they do a great job of applying scripture to daily life.
Yeah, and I really like, as Mike was giving us the mission statement, how he used the word access. Our Daily Bread is about giving access to God's word for people all around the world. And if you think about that word access, that's really the heart of missions, is people that do not currently have access to the gospel, to the Bible, to hearing and responding to God's word, maybe in their language or in a way they can understand. That access is what missionaries do. They give access to people that currently do not have access. And so if you've been given access to read God's word for yourself, to understand it, to apply it, you didn't do that yourself. God brought his word to you through other people. And down the line, if you trace it far enough, it was a missionary who brought God's word to you or the people that ultimately did bring it to you. So it's really the heart of, it's a mission's heart, what we're talking about.
So Our Daily Bread has many, I would say, ministries from that. It started with a radio Bible class years and years ago, Dr. DeHaan doing that, and he was so practical. And that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about how does this apply to the life I'm living now. And still, they're continuing to do that. His sons did that. And so all my life, I've known about Our Daily Bread. What we want to do today is concentrate on your area, Mike. We know it has several different avenues of expression of having access and applying Scripture. But tell us a little bit about your story. How long have you been with them and what your assignment is?
Well, I went to Tanzania back in October of last year, the first time I actually went with Our Daily Bread. And it's through a friend of mine who I used to work with, serve with before, and now he has been with Our Daily Bread Ministry for maybe 5-6 years. And the Africa side of it has opened up with a desire to go into teaching English, teaching literacy. When you study and look at all the needs in Africa, you see that English is really, if you ever traveled internationally, you know, it's really hard to get around and to be able to understand or read the signs or whatever. And English is becoming the national language. So as we get into Africa, there's a couple of things that makes it very difficult for them to learn English. One is the curriculum is just not there. And if it is there, it's very expensive. So in the bigger cities and in some areas, they teach it through the schools and people do learn. But out in the country, it's very hard. And we go into to the smaller countries through the churches and local organizations to help them with the program that we're trying to teach.
When you think about Africa and we're talking about languages, you know, every country in Africa, really anywhere, has lots and lots of tribal languages. But then you have what you might refer to as like a national language, possibly a trade language. I don't know what percentage of Africa you could sort of divide, but a lot of Africa, especially sub-Saharan Africa, you could say there's Anglophone or English-speaking Africa, and there's Francophone or French-speaking Africa. When you do that, you cover most of the whole continent and a lot of the countries and a lot of the people that live there. So it's not like in the U.S. where most of us can only speak one language. And some of us struggle with that one, right?
Well, I didn't mean for you to be get personal with
okay,
me.
Okay, yeah. Nathan. I wasn't looking at you. Was it? But, you know, in other continents, other contact with other countries, especially Africa, many people speak multiple languages, including English. So that's interesting that that's becoming more and more sought after and desired. And what an opportunity.
It is. And Our Daily Bread is taking that opportunity to do that. And you was in Tanzania. You were there going with them. What transpired after that?
Well, Our Daily Bread does a lot of things, like you know, but they do a lot of research. And so it shows that the world spends $65 billion a year to help people learn English. And over the past 65 years, the rates has only gone up like 4%. People can speak English about 4%. So as we recognize this, and through a program that was developed through us, now we can help them go in and learn in a simple, basic, non-threatening environment. And within 1 year, they can speak English and read the Bible, where average before it takes 5 to 7 years for them to even try to do that.
Yeah, 1 year? I wished I'd have gone to that school.
Yeah, English is not an easy language compared to world languages. It's kind of in the middle. It's considered moderately challenging. And that's incredible. 1 year to become fluent enough to have conversation, to understand and read is very, that's advanced. That's very good.
Is your assignment now Tanzania, or have you got, has it spread more?
Well, Africa's divided up into four areas. So I'm over East Africa, and there's seven countries. Tanzania is one of them. I'm going to Kenya in a few weeks, and I'll be there.
Okay, I just got to stop. Nathan? Yep. Get him a little ready for Kenya.
Well, you might have been before, but it's a fun place. And one thing that surprised me when I was in Kenya a couple of years ago was I never really got uncomfortably hot, except in the airport. I will change that. But outside, generally, just the elevation is a nice little spot. I think Tanzania is probably similar, maybe. I don't know. It might be a little warmer in Tanzania than Kenya. But it's kind of funny to see a lot of Kenyans walking around in coats, and they feel cold all the time. And it was nice to me.
Yeah. Okay, so you're going to Kenya, and tell us about what's planned.
So our Daily Bread figured out that, as we know, there's a big need for people to learn English. So what we did was bring it down to a one-year plan and go in and teach through the local churches. One thing good about this is that it's not a program that we make money on, but we're making them self-sufficient, that we can teach them the program, give them the literature, and then they can take it and teach it into their churches and into the local villages.
So you're working with the local churches there in those countries?
Yeah.
Wow. Are they as denominationalism as we are in America?
No, I don't think so. I didn't see that.
Nathan? Yeah, it's not a negative thing. There's a lot of really strong churches, local churches, and they might, from the outside looking at them, there's not a lot of size or material wealth, and you might not have heard of the denomination or the kind of church they are, but man, some powerful, strong, growing, making impact in the community churches there in East Africa.
That's where a lot of the church growth is. I saw an article, and they developed it into a little film clip, and it was what you need for a church plant. And they say in parts of Africa, all you need is a shade tree. And right. I said, man, that's awesome. So you're going to go work with the local, and you will people in that local church, they go through the training first?
Yeah, we'll go into the churches, and if we have anywhere from 6 to 40 people that want to come learn the program, then out of that we'll choose one leader, and we ask them to look at a time that they want to begin a class in their own church. And they'll need several facilitators. We teach them the program basically, and then the program, like I said, it goes through a year, but we teach them how to do it 2-week intervals at a time through the process.
Nathan, when I hear that, the access. So first, they need the Bible in their language, or the English language.
Yeah.
Okay. Who supplies the Bibles to them, or do they have them?
Well, the curriculum is in English, so we start out actually with symbols, universal symbols, and we get them thinking, because you can ask them, do you speak English? They'll say no, but they understood what you said. So most people know a little bit more than they think, but we start out very simple with symbols, the symbol for house, the symbol for God, the symbol for man, the symbol for give. And as they learn that, through these words and through these symbols, they begin to think. And the way the mind works is what this is based on. The way the mind works, it helps them to begin to learn, and then we put together through small sentences, fragments, different things, and we use the Bible, a Bible that was created for this, for them to use to go by. So they do, it is biblical-based, and the churches love it because they want to be able to minister to the community, and this is one of the best ways they've found to do that.
Talking about access, that's giving the local church access into the local neighborhoods and communities around them. Providing something that is desired and like to learn English, and then the folks maybe coming to learn English are getting so much more out of that.
Right.
They're hearing God's word and maybe hopefully receiving life through the gospel, that what Jesus has done for them when they hear that for the first time. It's pretty amazing, isn't it, to share with somebody that maybe has never understood or heard the gospel before. I'm sure you've had opportunity to talk with somebody like that. It's a privilege, but it's joyful. It's amazing to be the one to tell somebody about Jesus for the first time. Yeah.
So we'll make a connection. We'll have a conference. Pastors and leadership from schools or whatever will come. We will share with them the program and what we feel we can do through them. And then we go back and we go into each church, each school, each location. We teach them the program, and then we help them get started. But they own it. They do it themselves.
So when we talk about, let's go back to location a minute, because geography just thrills me. I love globes and maps and all of that. These seven countries that are there, Are they so different that you yourself and you're assigned to those that it's, I know you haven't been there that long, but like being in Tanzania, now going to Kenya, do you go in or just not knowing, or do you go in a little bit of knowledge that they give to you? Okay, you're going to find a little bit different here than you did there.
When I go in, I've already have contacts, so it's already been done ahead of me. And somebody will meet me at the airport, take me, show me through. But everything's different. Even going through the airports is different. When you go through, get your visa, whenever you're going through to find your luggage, everything is different. But when I get there, I'll go to one place. But when I've been before this past time, we went to 10 different churches, one a day for 2 weeks. And every church is different. Some have walls, some don't. Some are nice and bring you food. Some ask you to bring them food. Everything's different. They look different. I mean, they're all African, of course, but they're different.
The person that meets you at the airport, are they connected with Our Daily Bread as a, are they a volunteer or have they done the work beforehand?
It depends. When I went to Africa, I went to Tanzania this last time. We have one woman that lives there. She's American and she's been there a year. When she went as a team member, 3 years ago, when she stepped off the plane, she said that when her feet hit the ground, she knew God was calling her there. So it took her a time, a year, to work things out, and now she's living there for one, been there for 1 year, and God's doing great things. So she met me last time. But I went to Burundi, and just a local contact, a local pastor there, he met me that had that knew why I was coming and set up the meeting hall and brought the people in for us to talk to.
Mike, obviously we're talking about Our Daily Bread Ministries, but your specific role is in the area of literacy,
right?
Specifically English literacy in East Africa. I'm just curious, I don't know the answer to this, so I'm asking, have you noticed a difference in generations where even in East Africa, even maybe you've visited in and among what I would say like extreme impoverished communities, but there's still cell phones and social media is still popular and even important, especially among younger generations. So is there a desire to learn English among younger generations, the up-and-coming young people, or is it more of a, is there an age difference? Have you noticed anything like that?
Well, it seems everybody that does not know English wants to learn. The younger ones are more free to come and more free to participate, but the older ones want it, maybe even more. They're a little bit more hesitant, but I think it's more just the shyness of them.
Yeah.
We're talking to Mike Hatfield. He's with Our Daily Bread Ministries, and his assignment is literacy in East Africa with seven different nations. You said you went to Burundi. Mm-hmm. Was that on the same trip as Tanzania? And
yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you have to go by land or could you go by air from one to the other?
I went by air,
okay.
But you can go by land.
Okay.
It's
so the access is real in those mm-hmm. seven areas. It's not mm-hmm. like bush country necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I know you went to 10 different churches there in Tanzania,
mm-hmm.
with some of them in cities and some of them in the rural areas. Or how was that? Tell us a little bit about, I know you said some had walls, some did not. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the roads are really, really bad. Just, I mean, it takes what might take us 10 minutes to get somewhere, it might take 45 minutes for them, literally. It's just so slow and bad. So we would go out. I think the furthest we went out was about 2 hours, and it had rained, so we had to go through one road that had flooded, praying as we went through, the water splashing up halfway up our car. So when we get into the villages, one we went to didn't have walls, but when they have church, they put up cloth curtains around the sides of the walls that is planks or wood frame, and that's what we did in there. Really incredible. The people there were so amazing. And they brought us food, and after the program, we told them that they could take this program and teach it, use it on their own, and it's designed that they can even charge $1 a student to come in and learn this. When one of the ladies heard that, she just began to sing, and she was singing hallelujah. Everybody just stopped, and for just 2 minutes, 3 minutes, it was just a worship service because she sang it to the loud of her, as loud as she could, hallelujah, because of the program and to be able to use funding way to put up walls in the church.
I hear that. I found this out. That's, why don't you offer it free? Well, you can, but when people have a vested interest in it or vested money in it, there seems to be a greater amount of participation and desire. Is that?
Yeah.
Can you respond to that, or do you?
Definitely.
Know?
We don't give them the material, but we have it made so cheaply. It's $15 for a kit, and that'll last a year. One kit can teach a class, but more than likely a family member might want to take one back to their home for the whole family. Each person will eventually probably want their own kit. It comes with devotionals. It comes with the unfolding Bible, the symbols, everything there, how to teach it. So anybody can teach it. So we try to take one kit for the church, and then they buy what they need to continue the process for $15. That's not much.
Yeah. You know, investment... What follows investment is commitment most of the time.
Right.
So that's not a bad ask there.
It is not. Another area that I wanted to get to, and again, I may go into areas. I just looked at the website. The publishing area is great. But then the training, besides that, they do training. And it's, again, the access and then application of the Word of God into the lives of those. I know you haven't been at it long, but have you heard any stories about how when they learned English, they started reading the Word of God and how it affected them as a follower of Christ?
Well, one school we went into 2 years ago was one of the first ones that we took the program into. The principal there wanted it, and there were it's a girls' school. There were 500 girls there with 4% literacy. So within 1 year, it was 100% literacy. All the girls there were able to speak English and read from the Bible. So they learned the Bible more. One girl is in a video, if you look to the website, her name's Anna. They said her life has been miraculously changed because of reading the Bible, understanding more what God can do in her life, and the joy that's come from it.
Amen.
Mike, you mentioned the website. Can you give us a website or a way our listeners can connect with you or at least learn more about the whole ministry in general?
Well, you can go to odbm.org, ourdailybreadministry.org, and then when you go in there, you'll see several things. But if you go up to the top, scroll down, you'll see one, I think it's involvement, and then if you go to that one, literacy is in that scroll down page.
Under involvement.
And so under literacy, you can see the whole program, and of course, the Our Daily Bread Ministry, you can see everything. But when you go to this and you see the literacy and program there in Africa, it can show you how to get involved, either on a team member, how to support $15 to a church or a dollar for a child to learn English, or even the missionaries that are there. So there are many things you can do.
I was looking at the website, and I mentioned this earlier, especially when you get into the publishing area. It starts out, of course, with Our Daily Bread, but at the bottom, it's My Utmost for His Highest. Mm. And I was saying before, I said, wow, what a big slice of the devotional life Our Daily Bread has with Our Daily Bread booklets and then My Utmost for His Highest.
Yeah. And that book has impacted millions of people, including my own. And what's really interesting, Mike, and you probably know this, but speaking of missionaries to Africa, the writer, the author of My Utmost for His Highest, Oswald Chambers, was a missionary in Cairo, Egypt, North Africa.
Mm.
And he's buried there, actually. And so he made quite an impact locally, but also now through the publishing of that devotion book globally. And one thing I did want to mention before we run out of time is we talk a lot on this program about the importance of heart language. At the same time, however, English is a very important language around the world. It's giving access to people who want to learn English, and then they, by a byproduct, hear the gospel, learn to read the Bible, study it, apply it, live it out. Also, what we're doing when you're teaching people to speak and read and operate in English, you're giving them a marketable skill that will pull them out of poverty many,
exactly.
many times. Mm-hmm. It makes them more desired in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Learning English, one person in a family that can learn English can literally bring the entire family out of poverty.
When I hear that, what an important task you guys have. the amazing thing, let's talk about it. The average was 5 years for someone to learn English. With the program that God's given you guys and developed and now has it accessible, 1 year.
1 year.
And they learn to read the Word of God. They learn English. I would say that is the total package.
Yeah, it's a win-win for sure. Yeah.
I want to encourage you to go to the website, look for Anna under the Literacy in Africa, and watch her read. A year ago, she couldn't read, and you can see how it's engrossed in her and how joy and how happy she is.
Yeah. Well, here on Exploring Missions, we love to hear about what God's doing around the world, here locally, but around the world. And when we hear about what God's doing there in East Africa, let's do this as we come to the end of the program. God's working there. And as Henry Blackaby would say in Experiencing God, find out where God is working and join him. Nathan, I would say that Mike and Our Daily Bread Ministries has done that and impacted that area in a great way.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike, can you give us that website one more time? O-D?
O-D-B-M. Our Daily Bread Ministry, odbm.org.
Okay.
Very good.
And so our guest again has been Mike Hatfield. And if you would want to be a part of that, you can do it by joining them and sponsoring some of this. And that's opportunity. Yeah. That's missional,
isn't
it?
We need online teachers, people to go, people to give, people to pray.
Okay. So you went first time as volunteer.
Right.
And now you're going back as one of the guys.
Yeah.
Amen. So the people that volunteer, they might be ready to pack their bags and
could be like Winnie.
And that's the lady that came and set her feet there, and when she got there, she knew that was her spot and her place.
Yeah, her name is Winnie.
And she's still there serving.
She's still there. She's actually at a pastor's conference this week helping share the word about Our Daily Bread Ministry.
Amen. Well, those of you that's never heard of Our Daily Bread Ministries, I welcome you to look at their website, look and see if you can get a hold of that booklet, and it can change your lives. So thank you so much, Mike, being with us. And may those who are listening concentrate on the Word of God, and you can use Our Daily Bread.